Today on Real Radio.
There's nothing like having access, going to the presidential prayer breakfast in Washington, D.C. by invitation only. And they do a security clearance on you before you, weeks in advance before you get there. And I had a chance, Lisa and I were invited, and there was nothing like being in there and knowing you had access. It's a great feeling. And if you don't have access, there will be men in wingtips and trench coats to escort you out. You want to make sure that when you are invited somewhere, you have access.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series through the New Testament book of Ephesians. We're going through this letter written by Paul verse by verse. So far, we've learned quite a number of benefits to the believer, the follower of Messiah, not the least of which is having access to God. In fact, that's the title of this mini-series that focuses on Ephesians 2 and verses 11 through 13. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs in Having Access to God.
We were invited to a wedding of a friend of ours on the Queen Mary, and it was a great time, beautiful wedding and all this stuff. And so we get there, and a great ceremony, and the reception's down at the other end of the boat, of the ship, I should say, that massive thing. And so we get down there, and the family of the bride, the father of the bride, says, "You guys come up here. You just come on up here, up to the front, and sit with us." "Well, no, it's okay. No, come on. No, come on up front there." And, well, okay, so we get up there, and it was such a huge wedding and so crowded, and then by the time we got up there, there were four seats, and we could see them, and there was four of us, and we're going, "Yeah, okay, we're going to make it." And we're going through the people like this, you know, trying to get around the chairs, and we finally get to our seats, and some people scoot in and take the seat. "Well, now there's two left." "Well, you know, you can sit here, and then we'll kind of sit back there." "Well, no, let's try to stick together." So by the time we found seats, they were in our car. We wound up driving home. There are no more seats left, and it was so embarrassing. We had an invitation, but by the time we made our way through the crowd and got up to the front where they asked us to go, we couldn't sit down. And you can't believe I'm telling that, huh? Have you ever had that happen to you? It's really, really embarrassing. So anyway, you know, having access, that was something like we didn't have access, even though the father of the bride, who was paying for everything, had no clout. It didn't help us out at all. But having access, there's nothing like it. And we're going to be reading in verses 11 to 13 tonight about having access. And I'll never forget the opportunity when we were having a corporate picnic, and one of the presidents, actually, of Baxter Healthcare Corporation, his office was there. He was rarely ever in it because he's all over the world. And at that time, they were a little $7 billion a year corporation that I spent 12 years at. And the opportunity was there, and he was sitting in his office, and the Lord made it clear to me, go share with him, go tell him that I love him. And he was sitting in the, you know, a heavy-duty office because it's guarded by major secretaries. And you know what major secretaries look like, don't you? Anyway, they got up to go to the drinking fountain or whatever, and I made my way to his office, and I stood right at the threshold, and I said, "Excuse me, Mr. Bobo," that was his name, "Mr. Bobo," and he said, "Yes." I said, "Can I talk to you for a moment?" And I didn't think he talked to guys in lab jackets, you know. And he said, "Why don't you come on in?" And wow, you know you're in a heavy-duty office when the carpet changes and you're like sinking. And this huge desk, and I was standing there, and I was just shaking in my boots, and I had to tell him, I said, "Mr. Bobo, Jesus Christ wants you to know that he loves you." And he says, "Praise the Lord, brother. Where do you go to church?" "In the Calvary Chapel." He says, "So do I." And I sit up front with service, and we go to different services, but come to find out he was saved. God just wanted him to hear that he loved him. But I had access into his office. Secretaries came back there looking in. How did he get in there? There's nothing like having access, going to the presidential prayer breakfast in Washington, D.C. by invitation only. And they do a security clearance on you before you, weeks in advance before you get there. And I had a chance, Lisa and I were invited, and There was nothing like being in there and knowing you had access. It's a great feeling. And if you don't have access, there will be men in wingtips and trench coats to escort you out. You want to make sure that when you are invited somewhere, you have access. And yesterday, God opened the door. I had access. I had the ability, the opportunity. As you know, Bill Clinton was in the West Coast here, and his aircraft were stationed at Los Alamitos Air Base. And I had access to sit in Marine One yesterday in his chair. And just me and one of his security guys, all alone in his helicopter. And I got to sit in his chair and I'm bouncing around, you know. I couldn't believe it. Presidential seal on there, man. Looking around, all this stuff that I can't tell you about because the guy told me not to tell anybody about it. It was awesome. And to sit, you know, and I said, can I sit in the chair? Yeah, sure. I mean, you have not because you asked not. So I said, can I sit in the chair? So I sat in the chair, the most powerful chair in the world. And right there, there's a telephone, and he had a... Now, I hope he doesn't hear this. I don't want to get in trouble with Bill, but... I actually took a couple of his napkins and some of his M&Ms. I have them in my office as we speak. And, but a tremendous opportunity, and all these guys around, and these majors, and these sergeants, and these whatever and whatevers, and I had access. It was a great feeling. And you sit in that seat, and you know, on the seat across from him, Margaret Thatcher has sat, and world leaders have sat, and went through the whole thing from one end of that helicopter to another. That's the one that sits down on the White House lawn. You've seen that one. And just a tremendous, tremendous thing to be able to hand to touch the phone. And on that phone, there's about somewhere between 8 and 9 buttons. I can't remember exactly, and they're labeled. And these buttons have communication anywhere in the world. And you pick it up, instant access, a completely separate nuclear-protected communication system through satellites designated just for him. One of those buttons, you could punch that button and get Yeltsin on the phone just like that. And Joint Chiefs of Staff and satellites and submarine captains. It's just amazing power. And to have the access. As Christians, we need to remember, and I was thinking about it yesterday sitting in that seat, this is the best the world can do right here. And we can bow our knee and we can just shoot a prayer up to God and have instant access to the greatest power that the world will ever see. A power that the universe has yet to experience. God Almighty, we can pray to Him. And I left that airport and just thinking about where we're going in this message, how weak we live as Christians. We can tap into the greatest source ever known. And we just kind of squeak by in our Christianity, and we're just so weak when we're connected and we have access to the greatest, greatest power that there could ever be. Well, Paul, again, in the epistle, wants to paint for us a picture of access. Verse 11, he says to us here, therefore remember that you once Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision, that is the Jews, made in the flesh by hands, that at the time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far off have been made near by the blood of Christ. Tremendous verse. Are you guys warm in here? I know our air conditioning's not working. You guys want to, if it's not working, want to open up the doors or something? Pretty warm? What a tremendous portion of Scripture this is, having access. He says right here in verse 11, therefore. Listen, over here. Therefore. Are you guys comfortable or are you warm? Well, I know the air is broken because it's not, the thing's not, is it on or am I going deaf? It's not working. So I can tell by my brow it's not working. Look at the word therefore. He says, therefore, remember. I'm appreciative of this because I get older. I can't remember much anymore. So God says, hey, therefore, remember. Remember what? He's connecting us back to all of chapter 2, what he's been saying. Remember a couple weeks ago we talked about the black background of our sins and God when he redeems us and brings us out of our background and all of the past that we've lived against the Lord. He now saves us and he sets us as that jewel. Well, he again presents for us a background. He says, remember therefore. He says, remember therefore that you once Gentiles in the flesh, calling us to remember. Very important thing in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. What does he want us to remember? He says, and you made alive, you, that's us that he's made alive, you who were dead in trespasses and sins. People, before we came to Christ, we were dead in trespasses and sins. Jay, can I get you to open that door, please? Thanks. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 5, a couple verses down, he says, even when we were dead in our trespasses, he made us alive together with Christ, for by grace you have been saved. We were dead and alienated from God in our lives. We didn't come to Christ with a holiness. We didn't come to Christ with an exceptional record. I don't know about you, but I came to Christ a criminal. I came to Christ guilty. And so in all of our lives, we come to him. And Paul is painting for us this, again, message. Listen, remember where you've come from. Can you do that tonight? Man, I got to tell you right now, we are warned in the Bible to forget, right, where we've come from. Paul warns us in Romans not even to think about and to encourage people who are discussing the things that we used to do. Have you noticed when people, Christians are guilty of this, we'll start talking about things. Boy, I remember when I was a non-Christian. Whew, boy, was I bad. And somebody will kick it on in and say, boy, well, how bad were you? I was this bad. I was worse than that. You know what I used to do? And they start this like shop talk. Well, how bad was your sins? My sins were so bad. And then they go and talk about their sins. And sometimes, you know, they kind of sound a little proud about how bad they were. We need to be a little embarrassed about it, you know? I think Americans, we've forgotten how to blush. Things are so shocking, you know. Listen, we're sinners, man. And Paul says, remember. He says, remember, therefore, remember that you, once Gentiles in the flesh, look, he says, who are called uncircumcision, really barbarians, pagans, by what is called the circumcision. The circumcision are the Jews. The uncircumcised are the non-Jews. And people, we talk a lot today about racial tensions and pressures. Listen, it's nothing compared to how it used to be. You look up in the books, the historical records of this time, and there were such grotesque racial differences. And do you know who the most guilty racial tensions were with? The Gentiles toward the Jew and the Jew toward the Gentile. It was brutal. Something like we've never seen before. Even if we are black tonight, or if we are Hispanic, or any other race, we have not seen anything compared to what historians paint for us in regards to this racial tension. And the thing that Paul is saying right here is he says, remember where you've come from. You're a bunch of uncircumcised pagans. And the church at Ephesus would say, yeah, well, yeah, we know that. We get reminded about that all the time by those who are the circumcision. And so the Jew would be the person to say, there goes a Gentile. Remember, we've said this before on a Sunday morning not too long ago, that an Orthodox Jew would wake up in the morning and say, thank you, God, that I wasn't born a dog, that I wasn't born a woman, that I wasn't born a Gentile. That was their prayer before their feet hit the ground. Wasn't born a dog, wasn't born a Gentile, wasn't born a Roman or a pagan, non-Jew. What a hatred. But that's how they lived. And Paul is saying, remember where you guys have come from, because, look what he says here, you are called uncircumcised by the circumcised. But I like what he says here, and you need to underline this because it's a slam. He says, the circumcision made in the flesh by hands. And there's a sarcasm here in the Greek language. It is a sarcastic comment. Paul is saying, looking at this. Look at this. He would be saying to them, listen, you guys, I want you to cheer up, because the people who are chewing on you about being uncircumcised, well, the fact of the matter is, they've only been circumcised by the works of the hands. But didn't God tell Abraham that the nation of Israel, that God's people would be set aside by circumcision? It's true, he did. Well, then why is Paul putting this down? Interesting note. Paul never got into the face of a fellow Jew regarding circumcision. Only when they, the believing Jews, put it on the Gentiles to be circumcised. Because circumcision was given as an outward display regarding the inward commitment of their hearts. They were to be a people set aside and different. And the covenant was, you be circumcised. It speaks about the heart being changed. So God speaks to them and says, Abraham, this is what I want you to do, and this is how I want it to be performed. And the child of the eighth day, the male, he's to be circumcised, and it is to be a symbol of what happens in the heart of the Jew. Very serious. But did circumcision save that little child? When that child was 8 days old and he was circumcised, was he saved? The answer to that is absolutely not. He was not saved, but he was a child at that point in time dedicated to the covenant. His family knew he wasn't saved, but that child was dedicated unto God. And Paul says there's a circumcision of the hands, but there's also a different circumcision. It's very important. So in this verse right here, we need to realize the work that God has done. What has He accomplished in us if we've come out of the world and He has set us free? The thing that blows my mind is last week we were studying about how we are God's workmanship, God's poema. Remember that? It's what God does with us. He puts us on the wheel and He prepares us. He causes things to come in and out of our lives to mold us and shape us. And then He says, Paul does in this verse, therefore remember that you once were Gentiles in the flesh. Well, why don't you hit me upside the head, Paul? I just heard this message about how wonderful I am of God's poetic works. And Paul says, well, you better remember where you've come from. And I don't know how this grabs you, but I was thinking about this. And have you ever seen those people that go to like garage sales and they're able to like find something worthwhile and something that's like profitable for them? Lisa's dad was famous for this stuff. The guy would go to a garage sale and he would buy something and he'd bring it home. It's like, what is this thing? And 2 days later, he's got it like powering his lawnmower automatic. You know, it's like an amazing thing. Well, what is that? Oh, it's a something or other, but I think I'm going to pull it out and reconstruct this thing and make it open up the windows or whatever. It's just amazing. Or you see people who go to, like the dumps or something, and they're salvaging through stuff. And you go, what is that guy doing? Well, the guy's probably a millionaire. He takes the stuff home and makes all the stuff and sells it to crazy guys like us at garage sales and stuff, you know. What's he doing? He takes something that to us is nothing and makes it into something fantastic. God does that stuff. Yes, verse 10 says we are His poema, His poetic works, His workmanship. But God, look around at us. Look what God's got to work with. It's like we've been found in a junkyard thing. God looks at us and He says, I got a plan. I'm going to work you and I'm going to make you and I'm going to mold you and shape you. Just remember where you've come from. And you know, we can sit in here tonight and say, well, God can't use me. God can't save me. God can't do this. God can't do the other. I sinned last week or I've never come to Christ. What can He do with me? Listen, He can do everything with you. Remember where you've come from. You think something God is using us now because there's something in us? There's something wonderful? He's saved us. He's put His Holy Spirit in you. And you're redeemable. Stamped right on the back. Deposit guaranteed in the blood of my Son. He redeems us. He makes something count. When He looks at us, He sees something. When we look at ourselves, we see nothing. And it's sad. Paul says, these guys who basically put you down, circumcised in the flesh, it is nothing. Verse 12, he says that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. The scripture says that without Christ, can you imagine how alone you can possibly be in this life? You and I have been places, maybe not knowing the Lord. That's the only thing that I can refer back to. I don't know how you are, but when I did not know Jesus Christ, I felt alone a lot of the time. And I thank the Lord that for 18 or so years, I haven't felt alone since I've given my heart to Him. But do you remember? Do you remember standing at a party or being somewhere or winning this or having that or acquiring that very thing that you strive for, and it's just kind of an emptiness? You remember being in a room so filled with people you could hardly walk and you felt totally alone? We were in the world without Christ. We had nothing. We were hopeless. And you and I tonight don't even have a clue about how far away we were from Him. And all that we were doing, all that we were living, all that we were experiencing, we were so alienated from Him. And when He says here that we were without Christ, the word insinuates or suggests to us or puts before us that God is on the North Pole and we were on the South Pole, and that's how close we were to God. We were in the world without Christ, completely, completely alienated from Him. That's a very, very sad situation. And that's where all of us have come from, but you know, sometimes we forget. I've mentioned this to you before, that there's times when we're busy, we'll be doing things and we're serving the Lord or whatever we're doing, maybe we're just having a good time. And then we remember, man, I'm a Christian. And I'm going to go to heaven. And we've got to remember where we've come from in all these things, that He's absolutely set us free in Christ Jesus. And so He says, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. This word commonwealth is an interesting word. It's our politics, our association. And I want to read this word to you. It's very important, and it's worthy of us diving into it a little bit. Commonwealth, the word in the Greek is politia, if I'm saying that right, and it means the citizenship or the community. It's where we get the word metropolitan. It means where we get the place of a walled village or a walled city, not to keep people out or to keep people in, but to keep people safe. A commonwealth. It is a territory or a kingdom to where people are safe. And the Bible says that before we come to Christ, we are alienated from that place of knowing Him, that place of comfort, that place of having a relationship with God.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, in a presentation taken from Ephesians 2 and verses 11 through 13. In fact, this is a mini-series called Having Access to God, which means we'll continue with more on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, if you've ever had the desire to learn more about history's most influential individual, please take advantage of our current offer. It's valuable in more ways than one. We're talking about Pastor Jack's audio CD set, The Life and Times of Jesus Christ. It's a valuable tool in helping us to better understand the culture of the period, the political climate, the way in which those awaiting Messiah's arrival thought, and so forth. Pastor Jack's The Life and Times of Jesus Christ on audio CD is yours when you make a contribution to the ongoing work of Real Radio of any amount. So when you get in touch with us by calling, clicking, or writing, just ask for it by title, The Life and Times of Jesus Christ. Visit us at realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org. Our telephone number is toll-free, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. Or you can send your gift to Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. If you missed any of this contact information, just pay us a visit at realradioactive.org. Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and made possible by the generous contributions of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine. amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.